This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Ryan is holding out. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, May 6th. Glad you could spend some time with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says he's not ready to throw his support behind likely GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump. Hear what he wants.
Court papers say former Penn State football coach Joe Paterno was told by a child in 1976 that assistant Jerry Sandusky committed sex abuse.
Another big day on the tech front. SpaceX successfully launched a satellite this morning, then landed the rocket on a drone ship in the ocean.
And just in time for Mother's Day weekend, a list of freebies and other bargains with mom in mind.
My understanding is it is one of the busiest days in the whole year for restaurants, Mother's Day is. And I know I tried to get a reservation to take my mother out for Mother's Day at Washington Crossing Inn in Pennsylvania, and I could get nothing.
Bob Neitz at Kiplinger.com has a list of things like two-for-one offers for Mother's Day. He's here in about 20 minutes. A former garbage truck driver has been found guilty of murdering 9 women and 1 girl over a span of 3 decades. With yesterday's verdict in Los Angeles, Lonnie Franklin Jr., known as the Grim Sleeper, became one of the most prolific serial killers in California history. Jurors took less than 2 days to convict him of all charges against him, including the attempted murder of a woman who survived an attack in 1988. He was called the Grim Sleeper because of a 13-year gap between his killings. Irene Ephraim is the niece of one of the victims.
It's been 30 years, and we needed this. And it hurted our family to lose her. It kind of destroyed us.
The trial will now go to the penalty phase beginning next Wednesday. Jurors will be asked to decide whether Mr. Franklin, who's 63, should be put to death. Police connected Mr. Franklin to the crimes back in 2010 using DNA technology that did not exist when the initial killing spree occurred. They got the DNA when an undercover cop posed as a waiter at a local restaurant and collected a pizza crust left behind by the suspect. To politics now. House Speaker Paul Ryan says he can't yet support the candidacy of presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. Mr. Ryan told CNN he hopes to eventually back Mr. Trump, but he said the first moves must come from the candidate.
I want to, but I think what is required is that we unify this party. And I think the bulk of the burden on unifying the party will have to come from our presumptive nominee.
For his part, Mr. Trump, perhaps not surprisingly, responded to that, saying he's not ready to support Speaker Ryan's agenda. Mr. Ryan's position could keep his agenda in the House from being overtaken by Mr. Trump's policy positions. Meanwhile, he's expressed misgivings about the Trump campaign for months. When Mr. Trump proposed temporarily banning Muslims from the U.S., Mr. Ryan responded that such a move is, quote, not who we are as a party, and in violation of the Constitution. Speaking of Mr. Trump, during an excited and victorious rally in West Virginia last night, he told his crowd of about 13,000 that they no longer had to vote in this coming Tuesday's primary, even though there are still a number of contested local races on the ballot.
Save your vote for the general election, okay? Forget this one. The primary's gone. Save your vote for the general election in November.
It's puzzling, right? Late last night, though, Mr. Trump did appear to correct himself in a tweet. He wrote, "Go out and vote on Tuesday. We will win big." Meanwhile, Mr. Trump also seemed to indicate he'll miss the competition of the primaries.
I actually wish the primaries were not over. It's no fun this way. I want the primaries to keep going, but everybody's out. I'm the only one left. That's okay, right? Right?
Meanwhile, Mr. Trump visits Nebraska and Oregon this afternoon and Washington State tomorrow. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They'll even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in DEAL. That's Stamps.com and enter the code DEAL. Hey, good Friday to you. As Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton fix their fire on each other following their respective primary slogs, each has sounded the alarm about the danger of electing the other come November. But investigative reporter Sarah Westwood at the Washington Examiner says the pair of presumptive nominees share more in common than their rancorous rhetoric suggests, like decades of tabloid baggage. Sarah, what'd you look at?
Well, both of them have a considerable amount of baggage because they've both been in the public eye for decades. So you look at Hillary Clinton, I mean, all the way back to her days as the wife of the governor of Arkansas and through to now, you know, with the emails and Benghazi, she's weathered a lot of scandals, and she's done that in the political arena. And Donald Trump has also had his share of controversies. His are more have played out in the tabloids more so than hers have, but they both carry the same type of baggage with them. And because of that, you might actually see this election be more focused on issues and characteristics of the candidates, not just the salacious details, because both of them have a pretty wild past.
Right. Well, that may be the approach for the candidates themselves, but I guess there's no real controlling what the super PACs might do, though, in terms of negative ads, right?
Exactly. But those super PACs, they'll want to run ads that are in the best interest of the candidate they support. And for example, if Donald Trump wanted to run an attack ad about the Monica Lewinsky scandal and bring up those headlines from Clinton's past, that would just open himself up to scrutiny of his own past and the fact that he also was unfaithful to his wife. So campaigns and super PACs, they don't want to draw attention to their candidates' own negatives. And if they were to go after each other on problems that they themselves have, they're going to just remind voters of those troubles. And so it might be in both of their interests to just keep all of that stuff out of the spotlight and keep it focused on issues and each other's personalities. Hmm.
You distinguished early that Mrs. Trump's negatives, for example, played out in the political arena. I'm sorry, Mrs. Clinton's, yeah, played out in the political arena. Mr. Trump's played out in the tabloids. Does that necessarily hurt one way or the other for either candidate?
Well, we're talking about a political race. So Hillary Clinton's negatives might be that much more relevant because they unfolded in the political arena. But that doesn't mean that Trump isn't going to be haunted by his own past. It just means that to voters, Hillary Clinton's transgressions might just be more relevant.
I see. We're speaking with Sarah Westwood, investigative reporter at the Washington Examiner. Her piece is called Trump and Clinton Negatives May Cancel Each Other Out. All right. So somebody pointed out in the story, too, they do have some similarities, I guess, when it comes to policies, right?
They do. They do. And it's a little surprising to say that when you think of them on the surface, but in terms of policies, they both oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership. They've both recently expressed support for raising the minimum wage. They're really not that different on a lot of the policies, and that's what angered much of the conservative base during the primaries, is that Donald Trump holds a lot of positions that aren't traditionally Republican and that do, in fact, lean a little bit left. And so it will be even harder for her to draw that contrast when not only are their personal lives relatively similar, but their policies aren't that different. It's why you'll see her hone in more on his tone and the fact that he's brought up race and ethnicity and immigration, and she'll try to use that as a cudgel against him.
Got it. All right, so from a policy difference standpoint, what do you think we'll hear about, say, come debate time?
I think one of the biggest distinctions that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton will try to draw is on national security. Hillary Clinton will try to frighten voters into giving Donald Trump the nuclear code, saying that that's not something that we want to do, that Donald Trump's foreign policy would be reckless. Donald Trump will try to argue that Hillary Clinton is weak and that she doesn't have the capacity to fight ISIS the way it needs to be done. And he'll try to link her foreign policies to the unpopular foreign policy of the Obama administration. And that'll be an easy sell because she was the Secretary of State. So I think that's where you'll see some of the policy fighting take place.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Westwood, investigative reporter at the Washington Examiner. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, just days into his tenure as the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump is brushing off a stinging rebuke from the GOP's top elected official while vowing to unite a fractured party. House Speaker Paul Ryan declared he isn't ready to support Trump.
Of Lincoln, of Reagan, of Jack Kemp. And we don't always nominate a Lincoln and a Reagan every 4 years, but we hope that our nominee aspires to be Lincoln and Reagan-esque.
The House Speaker is not alone in his stance. Both Mitt Romney, the Republican presidential nominee in 2012, and former President George W. Bush say they do not plan to attend the GOP's national convention in July. Evacuations by air will continue this morning as more than 1,000 firefighters in Alberta battle a raging wildfire that forced residents of Fort McMurray to evacuate. Alberta Premier Rachel Notley.
It is apparent that the damage to the community of Fort McMurray is extensive, and the city is not safe for residents at this time.
25,000 evacuees fled north to work camps converted to house people. Authorities airlifted about 8,000 of them yesterday to areas south of Fort McMurray, and there'll be more airlifts today if it's safe to do so. Another bombshell in the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse scandal. In a court order made public yesterday, a Penn State insurer claims that a child reported to Penn State coach Joe Paterno in 1976 that he was sexually molested by Sandusky. The order also cites separate references in 1987 and 88 in which unnamed assistant coaches witnessed inappropriate contact between Sandusky and unidentified children. For the second month in a row, the aerospace upstart SpaceX has landed a rocket on an ocean platform, this time following the successful launch of a Japanese communication satellite. A live web broadcast showed the booster touching down atop a barge in the Atlantic just off the Florida coast. And comedian Arsenio Hall has filed a libel suit against Sinead O'Connor over a Facebook post in which she said the singer accused him of furnishing drugs to Prince. O'Connor's post said investigators looked into the supplier of drugs used by Prince should question Hall. She also accused him of drugging her. The suit asked for more than $5 million in damages.
Holy smokes. What a bizarre twist that is.
Yeah, very strange.
Thank you, Jen. It's 22 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Mother's Day is Sunday. Want to show her your frugal side while still celebrating? Bob Neat, online editor at Keplinger.com, has a look at the bargains and freebies tied to Mother's Day this weekend. Bob, what have you found?
I went through what we've published in the past and other news organizations, what the deals were around the country, and I checked out to see what we had this year. And the way I did that is I contacted each one from last year and to see if they had the same deal this year. And turns out a lot of them did. And also, it seems there's fewer deals than there were last year.
Interesting. All right, so why fewer?
I don't know. We were talking about that today, as a matter of fact. I don't know if it's because Mother's Day seems to be earlier this year and these organizations or these companies weren't on top of it. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
First of all, I would not be the one to tell mothers that was your policy, that you forgot or it snuck up on you or that you weren't making good like you did last year.
I hear you. All right.
So what'd you find then? Give us some examples.
Well, you know, some of the restaurant examples would include Beef O'Brady's. They're offering mom a free Mother's Day meal with the purchase of another meal of equal or greater value. That's pretty much up and down the line. You have to buy a comparable meal and price if you want to get something for your mom. But you can't argue with that. McCormick & Schmidt, they have free chocolate-covered strawberries with brunch for mothers on Mother's Day.
Wow.
And Spaghetti Warehouse on Mother's Day, again, this year will be offering mom a a free lasagna or spaghetti dish on her next visit after Mother's Day.
Oh, next visit after Mother's Day.
Yes.
All right, a little wrinkle in there. All right. What if Mom likes a little glass of wine? You did some on wineries too, right?
Different wineries around the country. I would encourage people to check first, but they like Moms, and they know Moms like wine, so they're offering free tastings. One is Grey Ghost Vineyards, and that's in Amisville, Virginia, in the northern Virginia area. And another is Keeler Estate Vineyard in Oregon is offering Moms free tastings. And there are others around the country as well.
Very good. We're speaking with Bob Neat, online editor at Kiplinger.com. He's got a piece about Mother's Day freebies and deals. Generally speaking, is this a out-for-a-meal type holiday, or is it a cards and flowers type holiday?
I think it's both, but my understanding is it is one of the busiest days in the whole year for restaurants, Mother's Day is. And I know I tried to get a reservation to take my mother out for Mother's Day at Washington Crossing Inn in Pennsylvania, and I could get nothing. Of course, I waited till the last minute as usual.
Anything that jumped out at you as you were piecing this together? Like, were you surprised at the volume of restaurants that might offer something, or maybe how few offered something?
I was surprised to have the volume that was down, as far as I could see. I mean, I was checking websites of some of these places as late as this morning, and there was nothing has changed. I think one interesting thing that we didn't touch on is some attractions also offer free entry for mothers on Mother's Day, some aquariums around the country and zoos and other places. So, you know, if you wanted to get out of the house and take Mom somewhere, you could do that inexpensively as well, Mother's Day.
Thanks, Bob. It's Bob Neat, online editor at Kiplinger.com. 30 minutes now, after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News.
Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business 4 times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel Inside, powerful solution outside.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda next-gen firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday, May 6. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Speaker Ryan isn't ready to support Trump. The grim sleeper is convicted. Paterno reportedly knew of Sandusky's abuse as far back as 1976. Clinton aide Huma Abedin interviewed about the email scandal. Obama commutes the sentences of 58 federal prisoners, 18 of whom were serving life. Taylor Swift is Billboard's highest paid musician, took in about $74 million last year. And why the Cubs start to the baseball season is so impressive. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for Business Update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. If you're looking to take your business to the top, turn to the state that's doing the same, Michigan. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org. Insurance companies have begun to propose big premium increases in the range of 30% for coverage next year under the 2010 health law known as Obamacare. Wall Street Journal reporter Louise Radnovsky says some of the companies are struggling to make money in a market where their costs have soared. Louise, what's up here?
Well, we're looking at a round of earnings releases from the insurers that suggest they've had some rough couple of years, and they're looking to try to claw back some of the money by raising premiums for the year ahead. We've also got a couple of states where filings for the year ahead of what insurers are proposing, seeking in forms of payment, are public, and those seem to bear out the predictions that they've been making in the earnings releases. This year ahead, people are going to find their premiums going up. because health insurers have been stung by the first couple of years of experience under the Affordable Care Act.
I thought to a certain extent they were going to be able to get bailed out on some of that.
Some of those programs are actually coming to an end for 2017, and that's a factor that the insurers mention in their rate filings as one of the reasons they have to raise rates. They aren't the only factor. The key one appears to be higher than expected medical costs for the newly insured. And, of course, as you know and as listeners know, the Affordable Care Act really changes the way that insurance is priced and sold in the United States. Insurers have to charge the same price to everybody regardless of their medical history, and they can't bar coverage to certain people they would ordinarily or previously have considered to be exceptionally high risk.
Right. All right. So what are these premiums from different companies that are going up? By how much and what states?
Well, the Affordable Care Act itself actually sets a little bit of a definition for what premiums might merit particular scrutiny. It suggests that premiums that are above 10%, average premium increases that are above 10% should be subject to a particular period in which the insurer justifies them. So what we're seeing here, and I say that because it's important context, what we're seeing here out of Virginia, which is a state that had relatively modest increases in previous years, is a 15.8% average rate increase request from the big insurer there, Anthem, and a 25% increase from another big insurer in the state, CareFirst. In Oregon, which is a state that had a particularly rough time with the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, the state was running its own exchange, and things are pretty rocky there for a couple of years. We're seeing more big increases this year from insurers that had already sold big increases last year. Moda's asking for 32.3%. The main insurer on the exchange now, Providence Health Plan, is asking for 29.6%.
My goodness, are they going to get it?
The insurance commissioner in some states has the ability to block rates, but the insurance commissioner is also charged with making sure that plans have enough money to cover their costs. So they are as concerned at this point about rates being too low as they are about rates being too high, and that significantly narrows their wiggle room or their ability to drive down deals.
All right. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Louise Radnofsky. Her story is called Health Insurers Struggle to Offset New Costs. Is this a surprise to anybody?
It's not. It's still early days. We've only seen filings from two states. But as I said, those two states bear out what we've been hearing from insurers for several months now. And so in that sense, it's not really coming as much of a surprise to people that it's seen this year as potentially being a particularly difficult one.
All right. So what do Obamacare defenders say here, Louise?
Well, the key point that the Obama administration makes is that for a person who buys their health coverage through healthcare.gov or through a state equivalent, they're probably going to be getting a subsidy that's paid directly to the insurer and essentially offsets the premium bill that they get. So they won't feel much of the impact of rate increases because the value of the subsidy is actually tied to the cost of insurance in the market. Now, of course, the federal government is on the hook for the subsidy, but so far, in some respects, the health bill has been coming in a little bit under budget, so this won't drastically change that.
Thanks, Louise. Wall Street Journal reporter Louise Radnofsky from Washington. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Friday. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler in her usual spot. Nina, there's a real estate developer from New York running for president, I guess, who's been making some news, huh?
That's right, Gordon. Good morning. If you haven't heard, Donald Trump is running for president, and he just became one step closer with Ted Cruz and Kasich both dropping out and suspending their campaigns this week. You know, so we've seen lots of searches for Donald Trump, people wanting to know, you know, who will be Trump's running mate, what is Donald Trump's net worth, is Trump really the nominee? So lots of questions swirling. And, you know, as you know, a lot of Republicans still at this point – having a tough time getting behind him. House Speaker Paul Ryan came out yesterday and said that he can't yet support him as the presumptive Republican nominee, so we'll have to wait and see. But if you didn't see his tweet yesterday, that's been causing a firestorm also for Cinco de Mayo.
Right.
He tweeted a photo of himself with a taco bowl saying, "Happy Cinco de Mayo. You know, the best taco bowls are made in Trump Tower Grill. I love Hispanics."
Right.
So that came under quite a bit of fire this week.
Did you say people are actually searching for, is Donald Trump really the nominee?
People are searching for, is Trump the nominee? People want to know, you know, is this really happening?
That's,
you know, we saw a lot of jokes, you know, aimed at Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is just kind of another question that's swirling.
All right. How about Janet Jackson, too?
Janet Jackson, the big question this week, is she or isn't she pregnant? Speculation has been swirling that she may be expecting her first child. She's 49 years old, as you know. I mean, she's in great shape. But people are, you know, surprised at this. She did suspend her tour and say that she was taking some time off for family planning just a little while ago. And so she hasn't confirmed the rumors yet, but she did drop a single called Damn Baby. And people are wondering, you know, is this kind of her nod at Baby, you know, Baby
okay.
on Board?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talk swirling there, but she has not officially confirmed it, although a lot of sources are saying it is true.
Got it. Boy, you and I don't often get to talk soccer, but how about Real Madrid?
That's right. Real Madrid, they beat Manchester City this week, and you know, they're going to proceed to the final game of the UEFA Champions League. So this is really exciting. You may have seen also that Cristiano Ronaldo, he posted a celebration photo in his underwear that was widely mocked. And so we saw a lot of people, you know, coming to Google wanting to know, when does Real Madrid play? What league are they in? Also wanting to know, what place is Real Madrid in? So that was a question that was interesting and trending as well.
Very good. We're joined live this morning by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. McDonald's garlic fries, what's that about?
Well, I'm excited about this one. And the internet really kind of lost its mind when McDonald's announced that it's going to be testing garlic fries in four Bay Area locations. So get ready. They could show up, you know, on 250 menus by the end of summer. So people wanting to know, where is McDonald's testing the garlic fries? Where can I get them? Are they going to sell them? How much will they cost? You know, so lots of questions. People really interested. You know, the last big news from McDonald's was when they announced all-day breakfast. So
right. People
are going crazy again.
All right, let me play this clip from the video of the week, these epic rap battles of history.
Brace yourselves! Gather up your trolls and your soldier elves! And your ants and your orcs and your wargs and your stains, your dwarves and ham trains!
Explain this one, Nina.
Oh, yeah. Epic Rap Battles, they are a popular YouTube channel, and they produce hilarious rap contests between famous stars, famous personalities, and they put out a brand new video this week, and people are going wild for it. This particular battle, it stars two writers, J.R.R. Tolkien and George R.R. Martin, the author of Game of Thrones. And the video now has over 5 million views on YouTube and counting.
It's really funny stuff. Funny stuff. Yeah. Thanks for spending a few minutes, as always. Google Trends expert Nina Tyler with us live. 13 minutes before the hour now. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, sources familiar with the investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server says the FBI has interviewed top aide Huma Abedin. The FBI and Justice Department have been investigating the potential mishandling of sensitive information that passed through the email server Clinton used as Secretary of State. Abedin was one of Clinton's closest aides, serving as Deputy Chief of Staff. Donald Trump's effort to choose a vice president is beginning to take shape, and it could provoke the ire of conservatives. While they search for signs that Trump shares their platform, former candidate Ben Carson, who's helping Trump pick a running mate, said yesterday that Trump may consider Democrats and independents. Carson added that Trump would consider people who are American and put America first. A former Los Angeles trash collector has been convicted of 10 counts of murder in the grim sleeper serial killings that targeted poor young black women over two decades. Lonnie Franklin Jr. showed no emotion as the verdicts were read, and family members who had wondered if they would ever see justice quietly wept. Dennis Kilcoyle headed up the police investigation.
Just relief, and it was an emotional moment for me, and certainly not to the level for the families, but it's... It's a big day.
Jurors took less than 2 days to convict Franklin of all charges against him, including the attempted murder of a woman who survived a 1988 attack. President Obama has commuted the prison sentences of 58 inmates serving in federal prisons across the country who have been convicted of drug crimes. The inmates were convicted of drug-related offenses such as possessing and intending to distribute cocaine. 18 of the people receiving commutations were sentenced to life in prison. And a Colombian mariner who spent 2 months adrift in the Pacific and saw three of his companions die has been saved by a Panamanian freighter and taken by the U.S. Coast Guard to Hawaii. The man says he and his three friends had set out from Colombia's Pacific coast in a 23-foot skiff more than 2 months ago when the motor died, sending them adrift. The survivor lived on fish and seagulls.
That is some story. That's a long time. That qualifies, I think, for one of those reality survivor shows or something.
2 months.
Right?
You have to pray for rain and catch stuff.
Right.
Ugh, it's too awful to think about.
Wow, man. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's a top 10 pro-business state, where 2,000 unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years and is now home to the sixth best entrepreneurial climate? All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to michiganbusiness.org to learn more.
You know, in only 3 years, the Cubs have risen from one of the worst teams in baseball to achieve an unprecedented degree of dominance. They're scary good so far this year, and after a 5-2 win over the Nationals last night, Cubbies 21-6. Rob Arthur at 538.com says many people thought the Cubs could win 100 games this year. Now there's talk they could be one of the best teams in history. He crunched some numbers. By run differential, the Cubs start ties for fourth best in the modern era going back to 1900. That doesn't quite do their dominance justice because of today's parity. Through the first 24 games, to put it in perspective, the distance between the Cubs' run differential and that of the second best team, the Washington Nationals, is the same as the difference between the Nationals and the 20th-ranked Oakland A's. And not only is Chicago scoring the most runs in baseball, they're also tied for allowing the fewest. Like I said, Cubs are scary good right now. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.